Hello, everyone. Welcome to our scattered groups this week. I hope you're enjoying our study, going verse by verse and chapter through chapter in the book of 2 Corinthians. We've discovered a lot of helpful exercises for encouragement, and today's no exception. We'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday is just 2 weeks away. Palm Sunday is this Sunday. This Friday, we are mailing out 2,000 or more invitations, postcards to people in our community. So please pray for that. Also, many of you are making life baskets. So take some initiative with your own ambition. Find a basket or make a basket of some snacks or some treats, something that you believe a neighbor, coworker, or friend would enjoy. Get one of our little booklets, The Case for Easter, and one of those postcards. They're out in the lobby. And then take that to a neighbor, a friend, a coworker, somebody, and invite them to come sit with you on Easter Sunday. It's just 2 weeks away, so be praying for that. Start to plan ahead for that, if you would. We've had some great services at church, both in the church scattered and the church gathered on Sundays. And thank you for your good participation. Thank you for your giving and commitment and faith promise as well. And there's going to be a lot to do in this spring season, a lot of ministry opportunities, both relationally, spiritually, and even just prepping things here on the property. And so please see the emails and see what the announcements are about times and ways that you could help. And we would really appreciate that. Let's go ahead and pray and ask the Lord's blessing on our study. Father, we thank you for this special season where we anticipate the cross and examining what you did in taking our sins and paying the price for them. We thank you for the resurrection and how we can celebrate that every day, and especially as Resurrection Sunday comes. Let us be proactive in introducing people to Christ. Give each one listening now boldness to encourage others with the gospel. And now we pray you'll bless our study. Thank you for all those who've gathered in our scattered groups. We pray you'll bless the host and all those who are studying and praying together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, 2 Corinthians, we're going to talk about commendation, being an encouragement to somebody. Think about a musician. A musician is commended, not that he played so long, but that he played so well. And so it is with the days of our lives. It's not how long we live, but the goodness of the lives that we live. It's not the length of our prayers, but the fervency of our prayers. Not the measure of our profession, but the sincerity of our profession. That's what is acceptable to others. That's what is acceptable to God. Have you ever received a letter of commendation, maybe some recognition for some achievement? Not just like, oh, well, you're just another year older, but maybe for the quality of what you did at work or ministry or a teaching that you did, or how you helped somebody. Someone sent you a thank you note. That's kind of a letter of commendation as well. No matter the life you live, the Christian is accepted by God the Father because of the work of Christ. So we'll begin reading in verses 1 through 3, then we'll unpack the verses down to verse 13 throughout our message. We then, as workers together with him, so keep this in mind, we are also workers of Christ. We beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain, if with emptiness, no meaning to it. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This word secured is a word which means to run or to come to the aid of. Secured means to help. To help. God came to us to help us. Jesus came to us to help us, to give us salvation. There may be a listening friend right now, and you're watching with your group, or you're just watching this replay of this message, and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Don't put off believing the gospel for yourself. Not just head knowledge, well, I know there's a God. The devils know there is a God. Satan knows there's a God. And so not just knowing there's a God in your head, but believing that Jesus Christ is the resurrected Lord, accepting him as your personal Savior. Now is the accepted time. But Jesus came to us. I find that amazing. Kind of like the prodigal son, the father of the prodigal son. He came running out to help his son, to find his son. He accepted him back. God came running to us, and I love that. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so trust Christ today. That feeling, that yearning, that desire, that uneasiness you have about eternity, that's Jesus knocking on your heart's door. He's coming to you and saying, trust me. The Spirit of God is saying, let me in. Believe the gospel for yourself. Now, let's continue on. Giving no offense, that means to cause to be a cause of stumbling in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. The phrase approving ourselves, approving means to establish or to commend. Paul said we as ministers of God should establish ourselves as ministers of God. Demonstrate or to prove, the word here is approve ourselves as ministers of God. And so we're going to talk about being approved of God, being approved of the Lord. Paul returns to the idea of this apostolic ministry here in chapter 6. He mentioned it in chapter 2. Now, thanks be to God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. And so he's elaborating on this idea of, I'm a gospel minister, and we can also share some of the same values and expect some of the same things that Paul addresses in this chapter. Now, some people are looking to be offended. Some people are looking for that. He says in verse 3, giving no offense in anything. Now, some people are just easily offended. Christians should not be easily offended. Some find things that are genuine problems to be offended by. But nothing should be done to bring discredit or dishonor to the ministry. I like how one person commented, it is astonishing the things at which people take offense. Often the cause of offense is so trivial as to be utterly frivolous, especially when it's made an excuse for rejecting Christ. She passed me on the street without speaking, and she's supposed to be a Christian. Or he preaches too long. Or all they want when you go to church is your money. Or they're not friendly in that church. People find a lot of excuses for why they choose not to follow Christ. Or really, it's easily offended, is what he's talking about. Paul, however, endured many hardships. And as we read in verses 5 down to verse 10, we're going to find just, I think I counted 28 different circumstances and scenarios that Paul endured. He endured a lot of difficulty. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 24, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measures, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, saved one. They just came right within the limits of their legal law in beating him nearly to death. And so he gives this list of troubles and also blessings that he encountered along the way. Now, Christians, we can be good workers for the Lord. In verse 1, we are workers together. In verse 4, we are ministers of God, and we are approving ourselves or establishing ourselves or commending ourselves as good workers and as ministers of God by how we respond to the circumstances that life brings our way. This reminds me of 2 Timothy 2:15, and I hope all of our Awana students know this verse by now. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, that's what we are, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so let's be approved in our lives of God by establishing ourselves and commending ourselves to the way of living that Christ has called us to. So how can I be an approved workman? How can I be an approved workman? The first way is in verse 3, to avoid offense, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Now, as Paul is calling them to a life of service, he really describes that there's also going to be suffering that may accompany the service. For the Christian life, one person stated, is not all peaches and cream. The name it, claim it advocates have evidently never read the constant warnings in the New Testament that suffering is an integral part of the Christian experience. The hymn writer expresses it well with the question, "Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease when others fought to win the prize and sailed through stormy seas?" And good thought for us. There's going to be people that will take easy offense, but by God's grace, you can choose. I'm not going to be one that is arrogant or boastful or in your face and proud and mean-spirited concerning Christianity. And so when it comes to offense, you should never purposely try to offend people. And sometimes on social media, you have to be extra careful and don't get in your face. And that's not the best place to give really in-depth Bible scriptural teaching to people who are maybe skeptics or even scoffers. And so be real careful in your dialogue with people in work and people on the ball teams and the other parents at the ball field and on social media, etc., that you're careful not to purposely be offensive to others. Sometimes it's not even what we say, but how we say whatever it is that we're talking about that really can make a big difference. And so he says he's not going to be given offense, and that's something for us to glean and learn from as well. Next, then, we should anticipate affliction. If we're going to be good ministers of the Lord, anticipate affliction. One person wrote about a story that they had a neighbor who was an Italian Catholic. Not that she ever went to church much or showed much interest in religion, he says. A friend of ours was able to get close to this lady and led her to Christ. She agreed to come to church with us the next Sunday. She came, brought her little girl. They loved the kids' ministry, and a neighbor liked the church. Enthusiastically, she agreed to come back next week. And she said that she bathed in the applause of her new friends in Christ. She really enjoyed that friendships that she was making there. About midweek, she came and visited us and was looking very sorry for herself. Her favorite nephew had heard about her conversion to Christianity and had exploded in rage. "Aunt Emma," he said, "if you go back to that Protestant church, I'll never speak to you again." So she has applause on one hand and condemnation on the other. And a lot of times we'll find ourselves in places like that. Hey, the church should be the ones encouraging, while others maybe are condemning and criticizing. But that's going to be the Christian life. It's going to be a life of dynamic difference in response. And there's going to be really these things that are diametrically opposed to each other on the other side of each of the spectrum of the Christian life. And so that's what the Christian life is. We're strangers passing through enemy territory, essentially. And so notice some of the problems that Paul faces. So he's going to be ministering in verse 4, approving ourselves as ministers of God. So here's how he demonstrated that, proved it in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. All right, so there's going to be things that you have to endure, be patient to go through them. There's going to be afflictions, things on the outside hurting you, in necessities, things that you just have to do to continue to live or to serve or to remain, and distresses. There'll be things that distress your soul, that hurts you, that pains you. He says then in stripes. Now this gets into physical beating, being physically harmed. In imprisonments, all right, let's haul him off to jail. He experienced many jail scenarios. In tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fasting. So when he's talking about watchings, he's watching other people. Like a father may watch a wayward son. Like a person may watch and guard the door. or observe the actions of someone else. This is the idea of watchings. In fastings, this would be certain times of fasting to pray, to speak with the Lord, to deny self, food, to then give that time to God in prayer. So he experienced some of those things. Some of these are positive, some are negative. You'll see as we continue. In pureness or by pureness, then, there's a lot of ends and bys and as's. And really, they're all introducing the 28 different things that he endures or is blessed by. So by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering. So knowledge can be things that that we know that is true. And sometimes knowledge also puffs up and hurts an individual. But he has pureness in there as well. By long-suffering. Now, long-suffering is kind of passive. Whenever you're enduring something that's difficult, it's a passive, I'm long-suffering. But notice the next phrase is by kindness. Kindness is not passive, it's proactive. And so I'm going through some difficulties right now. And by God's grace, I can endure long-suffering, that's passive, but I can also be proactive. And in response to those being unkind, I will show kindness. They've not been good to me, but I'm going to be good to them in return. It's kind of like how Jesus was always good to those, even those who hurt him. By the Holy Ghost. So he had the Holy Ghost with him by love unfeigned. Unfeigned means not fake or sincere. Sincere, being sincere. Verse 7, by the word of truth. We're glad we have the word of truth, the Bible. By the power of God. It's not the authority of God here. It's the power, the dunamis of God. It means the might or the ability of God. So because of God's power, I can endure this. And I can continue in ministry and can continue to serve the Lord. By the armor of righteousness. Hey, put on the whole armor of God. And part of that is that breastplate of righteousness. So we have this armor that he alludes to. He teaches about it in other places. And so we put that on the right hand and on the left. So no matter where the attack may come from, that righteousness can help us remain doing the right thing and keep standing for the truth and what is honorable and right. Let's continue on then. By honor and dishonor, he endured both. There were times the Christian life is a life of contrast many times. Sometimes he was commended, sometimes he was condemned. On the very same day from different groups of people. And you could experience the same in your life. So there's honor and dishonor by evil report and good report. Some people would say, don't listen to Paul. He don't know what he's talking about. You know, I follow Apollos and I'm going to follow Barnabas over here. But, you know, who's going to follow Paul? And sometimes there was that comparison game that people were playing. In other places, he said, don't do that. Let's follow Christ. Let's follow Jesus. And that's how we are to live. As a good report, a bad report, good report, as deceivers and yet true. People say, I've been lying to you, but I've not been lying to you. I've been telling you the truth. That's what Paul's describing. As unknown and yet well known. Who is Paul? I don't know Paul. Well, everyone knows Paul. I thought everyone knows his ministry, Paul and Silas and different ones that he took on his missionary journeys, but not everybody did. As unknown yet well known, as dying. And behold, we live. Sometimes Paul was left for dead, but he stayed alive. And God preserved his life as chastened and not killed. Corrected by the civil authorities many times for preaching the gospel and obeying God rather than men. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. And friends, there's going to be times where you are sorrowful and don't understand. But you can still have the joy of the Lord. And that's what he's speaking of. And he still remained joyful as poor, yet making many rich. The same phrases are used here for poor, like the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus was serving the rich man. He helped make the rich man richer. And Paul was seeing himself this way. Hey, I'm making other people richer through the ministry that I've given to them. And I'm just getting by. I'm poor. But he also was rich in Christ. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. That's the end of the 28 different characteristics and qualities and the things that he endured, the blessings and troubles that he found. This majestic triumph over adverse circumstances remained with Paul to the very end. When he came to describe his ordeal, when at last he stood before Nero, in defense not only of his conduct and career, but of Christianity and of himself itself, he did so with a calm confidence. He did not shrink from this. No one else stood with him before Nero, who at this point was already a maniac and crazy. He said, "The Lord stood with me and strengthened me in another place. And I was delivered out of the mouth of a lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work." He told that to Timothy in 2 Timothy. And he endured much difficulty, but he knew that God was with him, and he anticipated there would be affliction. Friends, don't deceive yourself. Because you are a follower of Christ, some things in life is going to be more difficult. More trouble that may come as Satan is testing you or as affliction is coming because of the world, the flesh, and the devil himself. So avoid offense as good ministers. Anticipate affliction and then award open hearts. Now, take some time to unpack this more in your own life. Verses 11 through 13. O you Corinthians, so it's very personal now, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. For a recompense, in the same, I speak unto you, my children. So very personal. He talks to them as he addresses them, then he says, you're like my children, be ye also enlarged. Now, the phrase here, the word enlarged means to make broad or to open wide. In verse 12, he says, you are straitened. That means made narrow. In other words, hey, folks, you have closed your heart. You have narrowed your heart towards me and my ministry, but I've opened my heart to you. I've poured out my soul. I've shared to you some of the great difficulty and problems, and you are not opening your heart to me. It's nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with you. You have straightened your own heart towards me. They had closed their heart to some of Paul's teaching. Paul said, you have restrained yourself. You put yourself in a narrow place concerning our relationship. And he said, I've opened my heart. I've enlarged my heart towards you. I've opened my mouth wide towards you. And it's only fair. He uses the word recompense. It means like a reward or an award. It seems like that you should become or come to a place where you open your heart up towards me. Open your heart to God's work is essentially what he's driving at. We should recognize and reward when someone is opening their heart to the Lord. And essentially he's saying there's no lack of room in your heart. And really, the want of love is on your side, not ours. And that's how it is. In our lives, God loves us. There's people around us that love us. And whether you become more relational with them or not, or accept or open your arms and your heart up to them to include them in your life, that's up to you. That's what Paul is saying. He said, come on, open up your life to me as well, like I've opened up my life to you. So, friends, when people confess and share their feelings, encourage them. There's mutual encouragement in these verses, and there's accountability in this fair play that Paul is asking for. So whenever that happens, and whenever you open your heart to others, think of it this way. Don't gossip or condemn when someone shares their heart with you. Don't judge or react harshly. Remain safe and confidential. Accept others when they open up. Encourage others when they share their struggles. Give an answer when they ask for one, when they're asking for advice. Be a listener and be willing to share, to open your heart to other people as well. Christians can be good workers for the Lord when we avoid offense, anticipate affliction, and award open hearts. There was a British ship who was during wartime. 700 men, there's only one Bible on that British ship. One pious sailor who brought his Bible with him, and he let his light shine before the men. He would read his Bible, and eventually two or three there would gather with him when he would read his Bible. And eventually 13 would gather when he would read his Bible, and then they would pray, and they would commend themselves to God in prayer, expecting never to meet again in this world during this time of war that they were experiencing. And during one of the battles, during the thickest of this fighting all around them, where some of the soldiers were at, here some of these guys died, and some of these, one shell took out three, but two of those Christian men remained, and it was like an invisible shield was all around them. And at the end of the war, at the end of the battle, they all gathered, and all 13 of them had survived. They had received many commendations from their superior officers for their good fighting in the midst of the battle. Paul tells us in other places how life is a battlefield. The Christian life is a battlefield. There's going to be ups and downs and good things and difficult things in between. But we can be good workers. We can be good soldiers. We can find commendation from God as we are faithful to Him. Please take some time to respond to these questions and pray with your group. God bless.